sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from God who never leaves us. Amen. Last week here at church, we blessed the travelers. This week, we acknowledge, even with these pillows in our pews today, this is Pillow Sunday today, and you have donated pillows that are filling up our pews. Last week, we blessed the travelers. This week, we acknowledge that travel is tiring. I was out at Dulles Airport this week to pick up Katie. She had been visiting her grandparents for a week in California, and we were excited, of course, to welcome her home. And I got out to Dulles Airport really early, actually, just to be safe, of course. I'm also excited, but I have to get a gate pass and go through security. I also just like to watch people hang out in airport terminals. I do like it. Love watching people, but wow. People, travelers, look weary. My goodness. Dragging big bags around, even after they've already had to check the really big bags. Still dragging big bags around. I noticed some heavy bags under eyes also. People sprawled out, you know, hunched over, trudging along. Saw one guy collapse in fatigue onto one of those uncomfortable rows of individual seats. I saw self-medicating at the bars. I saw people zoned out on their screens. And snippy, wow. I overheard bickering and complaining, nitpicking people to, you know, airline employees, people to one another, spouses, children. It's pretty entertaining on one hand, but I also got tired of just watching, and I got tired watching all this and being reminded, wow, travel can be exhausting. Friends, we have a God who first of all acknowledges that the road is a weary one. This passage from Matthew's 11th chapter and Pillow Sunday here today, certainly for anyone who is road weary or just tired, that's true. But scholars point out that this isn't really just about any old long road weary traveler. When we look at the context here, this is about the long and tiresome road of discipleship, the rocky journey of following Jesus. It is exhausting. It can have us looking and acting like so many of those depleted travelers in the airport terminal. For one thing, you can't make everyone happy. It's exhausting to try. But it's kind of nice to hear it in Scripture too, you know? I mean, in this passage for today, John the Baptist was dismissed as totally out of touch, Jesus says. Out there in the desert, all ascetic and weird and monastic, dipping his locusts into wild honey, you know, that voice crying in the wilderness like he's talking to himself. And so he's just dismissed. It's kind of a lunatic. And then back in the city, out there in the streets and cafes, is Jesus himself. And they called him a lush who keeps the wrong company. He was in touch with everyone. And they complained about that too. You can't win. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Do you ever feel like that? And particularly the journey of discipleship, trying to be a faithful follower of Jesus, how we are caught in the middle. To some, you're too liberal. To others, you're too conservative. Some say you're too churchy. Others say you're not churchy enough. Some say you're too out of touch and irrelevant. Others say you've surrendered to the ways of the world. When all you're trying to do is be a faithful disciple, all you're trying to do is follow Jesus. Do you ever feel caught like that? Just trying to follow Jesus here. Which, by the way, sidetrack here, but there's a difference between following Jesus and simply saying you believe in Jesus. dear mentor and friend and dearly departed saint of ours, Pastor George Johnson, used to really drive home the difference between people just saying you believe in Jesus once a week on Sunday in the Apostles' Creed versus what does it mean to actually follow Jesus? Not just say, I believe, but just what does it mean? Anyway, you know, all you're trying to do is follow Jesus and you're sort of caught. You ever feel like that? The Jesus followers of the early church to whom the Gospel of Matthew was written certainly felt caught like this too. They had similar frustrations. Early Christians, they would try to lead rituals when there was a loss or a death. They'd try to wail and create a space to grieve, to talk, to cry, to remember, to tell stories, to worship God, to care for one another in their pain. But nobody joins in or shares or even shows up. We wailed and you did not mourn. And how about on the other hand, when it's time to celebrate? They played the flute. They spun the records. They filled the punch bowl. They made homemade treats and decorated with balloons, invited everyone. But nobody danced or ate or laughed. Ever tried to throw a party to celebrate something and your guests hardly come out of their shell? Ugh. Or maybe a shell is all they've got, you know? Nothing left, hollowed out, dead inside. So much pain, they're just dragging along, trying to survive, like in that long corridor of Terminal D at Dulles Airport. Or like in the times of Ezekiel, just a lot of valleys of dry bones out there. We played the flute, but you did not dance. And pressing on, continuing both to play the jigs when it's time to celebrate and a cappella the blues when it's time to lament is hard work. Following Jesus is hard work. Keeping oneself both apart from the world, like John, or like the book of James says, keeping yourself from getting sucked into the world's corruption and apathy, you know? I think a lot of our translations say keeping oneself unstained from the world, but it's not about purity. It's more about keeping yourself from getting sucked into the world's corruption and apathy, like John, and at the very same time, deeply connected to the world, like Jesus. This is hard work. It's exhausting. This passage today names that, friends. We have a God who first acknowledges how hard this is, who says, I see you. I see you trying. I know it's hard. The offer of rest, the pillow that's coming, is not just a gift that happens to hit the spot. It's a gift that comes as a full-scale, intentional response to the hard work of trying, the hard work of living into being the faithful disciples God made us and Jesus called us to be. Sometimes, you know, you get gifts and they just happen to hit the spot. You know, you open the gift, you go, wow, that's actually exactly what I need. Thank you so much. And the gift giver breathes a sigh of relief, you know, that they nailed it and that you like it. Maybe you've been on either side of that. You're like, oh, good. I'm glad you like it, you know. Or is there sort of a surprise? That, you know, you were trying to hit the spot, but you happen to, and that's great. Other times, though, you receive a gift that is absolutely and exactly what you wanted and needed. It was so intentionally picked out for you, wrapped for you, and given for you at just the right time. That's what we're talking about here. That's what Jesus' words are here. That's what that pillow in the pew symbolizes. That's what that invitation to rest really is. That's what the call is. Come to me. Jesus calls us. Come to me. All you who are weary and carrying heavy bags, I'll give you rest. Today we take a deep sigh. In the midst of it all, let it all out. Leave our burdens at the feet of Jesus and put our feet up. Maybe even fall asleep. That's okay. It's part of the gift here. I love to talk about sleeping in church. How many of you have ever fallen asleep in church? How many of you are asleep right now? Were you raised or taught to feel shame about that at some level? I certainly was. Like you're a bad Christian or something. I've heard stories, maybe you have those stories, of a pastor abruptly and publicly waking people up from the pews all gruff and angry, kind of publicly shaming them. This text and Jesus' words, Jesus' vibe, I'd say, flies in the face of that. Our pillows here fly in the face of that. Rest is a gift. And my shame and categories around sleeping in church were shattered when a great pastor of mine once said to an assembly I was part of, and if you need to sleep, that's fine. Maybe that's where you need to be right now. Just grace. Maybe that's where God is calling you. You know, maybe you're so tired and so worn down by the grind of this journey of trying to be faithful that the sanctuary is the only place where you can find rest. That's what the sanctuary means, after all. So it's safe, holy place. Well, better place to sleep, on one hand. Church as a resting place. That's not a message we hear or see. I actually did a hashtag on pillow church. There's no such thing. But in fact, maybe it's the most important thing we need to know and share. Come to church and rest. Rest from the grind of discipleship, from the grind of the world, from the grind of discontent, from the grind of violence. And as poet and activist Tricia Hersey, who's been called the Nap Bishop, she's founder of the Napping Ministry and author of Rest is Resistance, as she says, a place to rest from the ruthless grind of capitalism and white supremacy. Hersey helps us connect rest to justice, reminding us that Sabbath is not just something to be enjoyed by the privileged, but that Sabbath was originally given to a refugee people in the Sinai Desert. Remember? Remember the Sabbath day? Everyone is invited and called, even commanded, to rest, to keep the Sabbath holy. Let the pillows symbolize that too. How will you rest deeper and more faithfully these days? And even into the fall, into the grind of a new academic year, into the ironic grind of the holidays. Our bishop, Leila Ortiz, is always asking how we can better live from a place of Sabbath. Ponder that. I certainly have been. She first said it to me, it didn't penetrate exactly, but how do you live from a place of Sabbath? Rather than treating rest and taking breaks as some kind of cherry on top, you know, if you finish all your chores, if you get all your work done, then you can take a rest. So that's not Sabbath. I mean, that's fine. That concept's out there, certainly, and that's fine. But Sabbath is, she points out, our Jewish rabbi friends point this out too, Sabbath starts when the sun goes down. That's when you put the tools down, when the sun goes down, finished or not. Put the tools down, light a candle, whether the work is finished or not. It's a letting go. It's a deep exhale so that you can inhale God's goodness and trust that God's got this, that God's got you, even and especially in the unfinished busyness of the world. Let these pillows symbolize that too. Okay, I want to go back to the airport and conclude here by noting that there was another type of traveler in that airport terminal too, of course. It wasn't just like I was in some episode of The Walking Dead Zombie Airport Edition, right? I've only described one type of person there, but there were certainly others I saw. Despite the long lines and long waits, despite the delays and hardships and cancellations and all the frustrations of travel, there are still those travelers who carried on with genuine smiles and a spark. Despite all the despites, they are still patient, flexible, kind. Despite all the despites, they're still kind, Reverend Dr. Caroline Lewis translates, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," as "My yoke is kind and good." She suggests it's a better translation. My yoke is kind and good. There are people in that terminal who are still, despite all the despites, still kind and open and even joyful, truly joyful, easy laughter, ready to lend a helping hand. It's almost as if they've had some rest or know that some good rest is coming soon. They're just as tired as everyone else, but they're on the long journey, traveling light in the most important sense. Jesus invites us to travel light in the most important sense, even through the greatest struggles of this earthly journey, to travel light, travel joyful, travel hopeful, travel trusting, travel gently, patiently, flexibly, and travel kind and good. Jesus commands you to get some good rest wherever you are, wherever you go. Of course, the discipleship road is a jagged one, but good rest makes all the difference. And remember, Jesus himself traveled light, took naps, and stepped away. Practicing Sabbath is part of what it means to follow Jesus, to reflect his ways. Friends, that grace, that joy, that flexibility, that openness, that patience comes freely for all from God. Now we just get to be reflectors of it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
All of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.